Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Humans at Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan, and in this podcast we like to find out a little more about those that we see on the track in the sport of Speedway, as well as those that work at the other side of the air fence as well. In this episode, we're speaking to a former Australian champion and a British Premiership winner, Brady Kurtz.
Came over to Europe the first seasons. Jason actually, well, that was probably around the same time he retired, and actually bought a lot of stuff off him when he retired, and he started helping me a lot in my senior career, and it's pretty cool that they were probably my heroes when I was a kid, and now I can say that I'm probably friends with both of them, and it's pretty cool to think about it actually.
Brady Kurtz captained the Bellevue Aces to the Premiership title in British Speedway in 2022. He's also featured on the Grand Prix scene as well as a wild card back in 2016 in Melbourne. We'll get to find out about all of his career and find out how his dream meeting would look as well in this episode of Humans of Speedway. Welcome to Humans of Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan, and in this episode, we're chatting to the man who ended 29 years of hurt for the Bellevue Aces fans in captaining the Aces to that league title in 2022. He is Brady Kurtz. Welcome to Humans of Speedway, Brady. Thanks for coming on. This time of year, though, you're usually back in Oz, I think. What are you still doing here, and how are you enjoying the great British winter?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's I've never been in the UK this long before, I don't think. I've definitely never made December. How life changes, eh?
But soon you will be back at Down Under, because you're going to be there in time for the Australian Speedway Centenary, which is a big event being organised by Darcy Ward. It's actually over 2 days, but the solos riding as such, which you'll be involved in, is on December 29th. And it's an epic lineup, probably one of the best lineups I think there would have been in Australia for a very long time, if not ever, with Ty Wolfenden, Jason Doyle, Max Frick, Dan Bewley, Jacob Hook, Adam Ellis, Rasmus Jensen, Chris Holder, Declan Kennedy, Ryan Douglas, Rowan Tungate, Jamin Lidsey, Keenan Roo, Sam Masters, and Tate Zichk, and Brady Kurtz as well. So this is going to be a big event to get the winter season really kickstarted there.
I've seen the lineup. Looks really cool. I think possibly the best lineup we've had that I've ever seen anyway. So I'm sure it'll be a good meeting. Darcy always puts on a good show. He's been doing a really good job in Brisbane the last few years. So I'm really excited. I think it'll be a big event.
And then after that, you've got the big epic mission that is the Australian Championships. And in our sort of previous episode couple of episodes back, actually, we spoke to Ben Cook and we talked in quite some detail about the Australian Championships. But that'll be coming along very soon, the best of Australia. And, of course, you have got some heavy talent there. Jack Holder, Chris Holder, Jason Doyle, of course, along with yourself, all battling it out for that Australian title. And you'll be looking to regain the title that I think, what, you first won in 2016, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think obviously we haven't seen the lineup for the championships yet, but I'm sure it'll be definitely competitive, no doubt. And I think Australian Speedway's never really been in a better spot. I don't think the championships have never been tougher, that's for sure. You know, you can look at the top eight guys who could all probably win, and yeah, and there's a lot of up and coming Aussie riders who are also chasing, you know, the top spots now. And yeah, it's going to be a difficult one, that's for sure. It's a long series, 5 rounds, a lot of travelling, and it's a pretty big job to do it all. And yeah, it's a tough 2 weeks of Speedway, I think.
Bit of a travelling circus as well, isn't it? I know Ben Cook was saying really that, you know, you do your meeting and then you're driving through the night, sometimes almost for a day on end to get to the next location, and then of course you've got to get yourself ready, bikes ready and set up for the next meeting, and all comes at you pretty rapid fire, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's kind of no other way to do it, really. We're only there for a short amount of time, and yeah, once we get on the road, we kind of don't stop. No one really goes home for the whole 2 weeks. You're just constantly traveling track to track, and I'm not exactly sure how far it is between all the rounds. I couldn't give you that stat, but it's definitely a lot of miles, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think 2,000, 2,500, maybe slightly more in kilometres as well. When I was talking to Ben Cook, obviously we discussed the town that he came from, Cowra, which is somewhat 3 or 4 hours outside of Sydney. It's sort of in the middle of nowhere, he was telling us. And then I was looking into you, Brady, and you're from the same town as Ben and Zach Cook, and of course your brother, Todd. So this little town in the middle of nowhere, comparatively anyway, outside of Sydney in New South Wales, of Cowra, is a bit of a Speedway hotbed there now. So what's the story there? Tell us about that.
Yeah, a few of us coming out of there. I think our families have been friends for longer than I can remember, for sure. Our dads were, both our parents were all friends when they were younger. And so me, Ben and Zach, and obviously my brother Todd, have known each other our entire lives and grew up riding together. And yeah, we've been friends for a really long time.
Yeah, small world, but Australia is a big place, and this was something else we were talking about, just how big Australia is. And I've got a previous video on the Humans and Speedway socials of Australia superimposed onto Europe, and just how vast Australia would be if you put it on top of the land that we know.
You know it's big, but you can't actually see it.
Yeah, exactly. And to put it in comparison, it was like if Workington was the farthest point west, then the farthest point east, you know, you go into like the Gold Coast or Brisbane, that would be like going to Kazakhstan. It's you know, a fair old distance in Australia to travel across.
Yeah, in our town, Cowra, we have just our town, 10,000 people, around 10,000 or something. And then if you want to go to the next town, it's 100 kilometers drive, which is 62 mile or something like that. So there's absolutely nothing in between.
Yeah, there's not a great deal going on in the area, but what it does have, Cowra, is a speedway track. Which maybe answers why there are so many Speedway riders that have come from this very small town. But your family has a bit of an involvement in that story as well.
It started out as a flat track, like the MX bikes race on the... We had a really successful flat track club. I mean, my dad's actually the president of it, and that's where pretty much all of us started riding. And now we all grew up and started racing Speedway. They've actually put in a Speedway track, which is pretty cool, and it took a long while to get it put in and all the earthworks and everything, but now it's there and set. And yeah, I think in the future they're looking to host possibly some bigger meetings, maybe an Australian round in the future. We'll see.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? And I do this podcast with Kelvin Tatum as well, and he was sure that there was going to be an Australian round in 2024 in the Grand Prix, and obviously there isn't, and he was quite surprised by that. It has been a long time since the Grand Prix has been down under, and as you say, the amount of talent and so on, the position that Australian Speedway is in, it really now is crying out for a round down there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it would be great to have it back, obviously, but I think the logistics of it is the main problem, you know, the cost of everything, and I think they can't really find the right location to host it. I think when it was in the Etihad Stadium in Melbourne, the stadium was pretty much just too big, I think, cost too much money. The stadium's even bigger than the Cardiff Stadium, and to fill that up in Australia is not really realistic. I think they needed to find a smaller stadium that they could fill. But where that is, you're asking probably the wrong person. But possibly if a temporary track, oh, not a temporary, a permanent track could step up and hold it. But then obviously none of them could really hold the capacity. And I think there's a lot of issues to make it happen. But it would be cool to get it back out to Australia again.
Bit of a project for Darcy to get his teeth in, you think, because I think he might be the guy, maybe, that can make it happen.
Possibly. If someone can do it, then it definitely could be him.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that one, but I'm sure it won't be too long before we get Grand Prix back down under, all being well. So anyway, back to your story. Started off with sort of motocross, flat track, and then Speedway came into it. So what was your progression then into Speedway and, you know, I suppose following in your brother's footsteps, I guess, in the sport. And when did you realise, you know, this is something, I'm pretty good at this?
Well, obviously, Todd's a good 4 years older than me, so he was a fair step ahead of me. And I pretty much just followed along. I never really considered doing anything else. There was just always, when he was 16 or 17, he came to England and started riding. And at that time, I would have only been 13 or something like that. And it was always my path, I guess. I think when I was 16, I went, or 15, I went to and lived in Denmark with Rasmus Jensen, actually. His family took me in, and I raced in the lower Danish league there for my first season before I could get a visa to race in England. So I'd done that for a year, went back to Australia, raced in the Australian season, done like really quite well. And then I'd done my first year at Somerset the following year. I think that was 2014, a little while ago now. And I've been here ever since.
It was a cool little place, Somerset. It's a shame it's not there anymore. It was one of my favourite tracks, actually. And I think also just the location as well. You're in a nice part of the world there. Maybe a little bit too much cider. But it was, I'm sure you had a great time.
Yeah, it's a shame to see it go. You know, it was obviously my first club, and I had a lot of good memories there, and I had a really good relationship with Debbie and Gazza. And it was a great club. It's definitely a shame to see it go, and that the track's permanently gone. So it's definitely a shame. And
it is a loss, big loss to Speedway. It was a fantastic little venue. Back to Australia then, and you're in Australia. What sort of Speedway do you watch over there, you know, when you're a youngster or whatever and coming through the ranks? What is your Speedway education or kind of view of British or European Speedway? What's on the TV? What do you get to see?
Before Todd came, I don't think we really knew a whole lot about the British League. Back then, well, there wasn't phones and internet and all that wasn't as really up to date as we are now. And I'm sure I would have watched some DVDs or something like that at home with some British League matches on it. And when Todd came, he would have been 16 and I was 13 or 14, and that was pretty much when I started watching the British League or learning about it, knew what it was. And I think we only used to watch the GP series, really. That was always on TV when I was a kid. I remember watching that forever. And obviously when like Jason and Lee, Todd Wilshire, Ryan Sullivan were all in the series, and that's probably my first memories of really watching Speedway and understanding what it is, I guess.
Speedway in Australia has delivered some, you know, some of the very best riders ever, some world champions, Jason Crump, Lee Adams, just, you know, a couple to get us started there, many, many more behind them. Who were your influences, your heroes, I suppose, as you were a youngster growing up?
I think for sure Jason and Lee were both the heroes when I was a kid, and I was always watching them. Jason was always the top guy from Australia, and when I was actually racing junior speedway, Lee really helped me a lot. I done a lot of coaching schools with Lee, and I spent a bit of time at his house and stuff, and he really helped me a lot in the junior scene. And then once I came over to Europe, the first seasons, Jason actually, well, it was probably around the same time he retired, and I actually bought a lot of stuff off him when he retired, and he started helping me a lot in my senior career, and it's pretty cool that they were probably my heroes when I was a kid, and now I can say that I'm probably friends with both of them, and it's pretty cool to think about it, actually.
Speedway is a small little world, though, isn't it? And it is like that, you know, that give it a few years and people who are world champions now, you could be at the tapes next to them in some meeting or another.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just a kid watching on TV, and then all of a sudden I'm at the tapes racing against them, and it's crazy.
So when you do have that moment then, when you head out in a race, coming down to the tapes and you're looking across and you're seeing some of your idols there, do you have that moment where you're having a bit of a reality check and a pinch yourself moment?
Yeah, for sure. I remember my first years in Polish League when I raced for Lesno. That was probably the first time I really raced against all the top guys, and for the first time, and that was, you know, pretty cool. You line up with Nicky and Greg, and they were cool moments that for sure I'll remember.
You get the visa, which is something Ben mentioned quite a few times, actually, about how hard it is. You know, you've got to finish in he had to finish in the top four of his state championships to qualify for the visa to be able to come and ride in the UK. And was that same sort of thing for you? I think you won yours, didn't you? So maybe a bit easier.
I was actually state champion the year that I came over, but I didn't require that for my visa because I had my grandparents were from Scotland, actually. So I had a different kind of visa to everyone else. So I didn't really rely on that, but I would have qualified anyway, if that makes any difference.
Well, yeah, covered all ends up. That's interesting then. So for you, this whole, you know, worrying about the visa and qualifying is not as big a concern. And secretly, you're part Scotsman.
Yeah, an ancestry visa, which I can stay here for as long as I want, really. And it's made life definitely a lot easier for me over the years.
Yeah, certainly sounds like an ideal situation. So you'd made an impression in your first season or two with Somerset, and that caught the attention of a certain Mr. Matt Ford. And before you know it, you're making the step up to the top level with the Pool Pirates. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there was always couldn't tell you exactly when, but there was always a connection with me and Matt. I don't know if it was my first year at Somerset, or it could have even been before that. And it was pretty much always set in stone that I was going to race for Somerset and then go to Pool in the years after. And that was cool at the time. They were by far the top club. I think they'd won 3 years in a row before I came. And that was always a dream for any young kid to watch Chris and Darcy win all the leagues. And and then to turn up and go straight to that club was pretty good move in my career, I think. And those were some good times.
Yeah, and you know that you're in safe hands, I think, going to Pool, being an Australian, when you consider the other riders from the past who've done the same journey in one form or another, you know, the likes of Jason Crump or Chris Holder, Jack Holder, Darcy Ward. You know that Matt Ford and Neil Middleditch get it. You know, they understand the journey you've come on from the other side of the world, and that you've given everything up, and you know, you're starting a new life in effect. And you were also one of those riders who have, you know, lived with Midlow as well in his house, and so many other riders have over the time too. And you know, you get that home balance that I know Ben Cook in that previous episode was talking about, that you know, you leave behind in coming over here.
Yeah, I lived at Midlow's for a long time. Him and Susie were great to me. I think I might have even lived there before I started riding for Pool. Maybe my second year in Somerset, I moved down to Pool, so it obviously already was set that I was going to race race for pool in the coming years. And I was a pool man for a lot of years.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just a home for riders, but also you've got a place where you can do your bikes, you know, workshop facilities, and as I say, it's a bit of a who's been there in the past. You know, Tony Rickardson, of course, used to have his workshop at Midlows, and that's now a cafe, and you can you can go in there and have a bacon butty and a cup of coffee and reminisce on the Rickardson career.
Pop in if you're in the area.
But you wonder the conversations that those walls must have heard, and I'm going to try and get Midlow on at some point on this podcast to try and talk about some of them, because I think the stories there must be incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's many top riders who haven't raced for pool at some time in their career. I think nearly everyone's passed through there at least once, and yeah, it's been a great track and a great club, and it's a shame to see that they're not in the top league anymore.
I think it was last year, or certainly the start of last year, and it might have just been at the championship level, but I think there was something like only three or four riders who hadn't at some point ridden for pool in the whole league. I think at the start of the season, it's, you know, as you say, everybody's had their moment at least at one point.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if that stat's a good thing or a bad thing, but, but yeah, definitely they've had a lot of riders there.
Absolutely. Okay, Brady Kurtz, our guest on Humans of Speedway. In the next part, we'll turn the page on the Bellevue Aces and Brady Kurtz becoming captain and being the captain that finally led the Bellevue Aces to a league championship after 29 years. We'll talk about the Aces and much more in the next part of Humans of Speedway.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to Humans of Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan. Don't forget to check out some of our previous episodes. There's loads from over the last few years, including with Phil Morris, race director of the Speedway Grand Prix Series and now the Sports Insure Premiership CEO. Also spoke with the likes of Gary Havelock, Kelvin Tatum, Jeremy Doncaster and a heap of other names from the past. Recently, we spoke to the new captain of the Pool Pirates, Ben Cook, Alan Rossiter, of course, previously of the Pool Pirates. We had Craig Aykroyd, the referee for Speedway Grand Prix and British Speedway. I'm sure he has refereed at Pool Pirates at some point. And we have former Pool Pirate Brady Kurtz with us now. But, of course, you left Pool behind. They made the step down to the championship. And then you made the move to the Bellevue Aces, which, you know, that is a big step indeed. Another of the famous race jackets of not just British Speedway, but World Speedway when it comes to club speedway, the Bellevue Aces, one of the longest established, of course. And would you say, though, that with that comes an element of pressure and expectation as well with wearing those famous race jackets?
Yeah, I think both clubs can definitely relate to that. I think there was always a lot of pressure and expectation when I was at Pool, and probably didn't always live up to it. And the fans definitely got on your back a little bit when you didn't. But there was also some great fans at both clubs. And I think Bellevue's probably kind of taken over the mantle from Poole, I feel anyway, as the top team in the league at the moment. You know, they've been there or thereabouts every year for the past 4 or 5 years now, and they seem to always be knocking on the door of the final. And yeah, it was nice to finally get that win in the last year, and it was definitely a little bit of weight lifted off the shoulders, that's for sure. And I'm sure Lemo was a little bit relieved. And yeah, it was a shame we couldn't produce the goods this year. We fell a little bit short, and yeah, I'm sure we'll fight back.
Yeah, and it is hard to win these league titles, though, and it did take 29 years for Bellevue to do it the last time. And of course, when you are successful, then the points limit thing comes in, so you have to reset and make changes to that team. And it's not easy winning a league title. Sheffield, you might look at their lineup for this year and go, well, maybe they've actually strengthened in one way or another with the likes of, you know, they've got Woofie and now Chris and Jack Holder. It's not going to be an easy task, though, is it, for anybody? There's no out-and-out favourite, but it is going to be a tough league this year. I think the Premiership in British Speedway is probably as hard as it's been for a long, long time.
Yeah, I think Sheffield, they're building strong teams year after year. There's no doubt about that. They're hungry for success, and they got theirs this year, obviously. And yeah, their team for next season's going to be tough to beat again. There's no doubt about that. And yeah, I think the league's looking better than I can ever remember. I think the league's never been stronger, in my opinion, from my generation anyway. That's for sure. I think the coming year's going to be tough every track you go to. And yeah, I think that's only positive signs for British Speedway, really.
And in the Premiership, a couple of new teams coming in, Birmingham and Oxford. I'm wondering if you might have been to Birmingham before, but I'm pretty sure you've never ridden Oxford so far.
I've never actually seen either of them before, so I'm really looking forward to that. I think that'll be a breath of fresh air for the league, I think. I've seen some videos and stuff, and both the tracks look really cool, so I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be a new challenge, some new teams, and yeah, I think it's only positives.
And some high-quality riders as well, as we've touched on. You know, it's going to be a strong league, but that is because we've got the likes of not only Jason Doyle and Emil Saifuthen off back, with the likes of Ipswich, Oxford coming in with Matsey Janowski. They've got Rowan Tungate as well, Niels Christian Everson with Kings Lynn, along with Vadim Tarasenko and Patrick Wodjilow. Max Frick's back. We've already said Ty Woofenden, Jack Holder, Chris Holder. So it is going to be a high-calibre league, and maybe some other big names still to be announced somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. The more big names, the better. That's, I think, British Speedway's been crying out for some big guys to come back again. And I think it's funny. It was kind of a bit of a trend to not want to race in England anymore. You know, the top guys all kind of palmed it off and just tried to focus on Poland. And I think when Emil came back last year, I think it's kind of turned a corner for British Speedway. I think it made a lot of people really look at it and take British League a little bit more seriously and think that could be a way to help them improve again. And yeah, I've heard a lot of rumours, and I've spoke to a lot of people that are willing to come back and would like to race in England again. And yeah, hopefully we can see a bit of a return and a lot of top riders coming back.
It's a positive, you know, for the spectators, wherever they are, whether on TV or in the stadium. But for the clubs, you know, these top-level riders are bringing people in. Sheffield saw it when they signed Ty Woofenden and then Chris Holder as well. You know, people turn up to see those riders. Same for Saifuthenov, whether he's home or away. And speaking of which, one of the great races of 2023 has to be that one between Ipswich and Bellevue at the National Speedway Stadium, with Doyle and Saifuthenov and Bewley and yourself going at it for four laps. Unfortunately, it didn't go the way of Bellevue or indeed yourself. Nonetheless.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
great race.
No, but I think it's races like that that what we need to boost British Speedway again and get more people interested. And it's matches like that which create such a great atmosphere and people want to watch. And yeah, I was happy to be a part of it. Wish the result could have been different, but it wasn't. And yeah, but it was. I think it was unreal to see what Emil did in the year this year. I think he was unbelievable, pretty much. I think it was probably one of the best performances over an entire season that I've seen from any rider in England, and it was cool to see him back.
Four laps to determine. Here we go. Cape Town, we're underway. Bewley's made a good start. Doyle has made an even better one. Certainly Kurtz is there. Here comes Bewley on the inside. Sifuna up around the outside in the second place. Doyle coming through into third. Kurtz has gone off. Look at Bewley. Bewley on the inside. Incredible move from Bewley again. Doyle fast himself back to the front. Bewley's now in front. Sifuna up in the third place. Look at third blanket over all four riders.
And for Emil as well, I don't think people fully realise just how good he was. He was the rider of the season in this country. But, of course, he was pretty much up there, second only to Bartosz Smarszlik in Ekstraliga as well, as statistics go. The two of them a long way ahead of the rest of the pack, by the way. So you do wonder what it would have been like in 2023 had Emil been allowed to ride in the Grand Prix, because statistics sort of suggest it would have been a lot closer for Bartosz, put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. I think if there's one guy that can really push Smarszlik, it's definitely Emil if he's ever allowed back in the GP series again. But he's always been really good in the league racing. Obviously, me and him rode together for 2 or 3 years in Leszno, and he was always top three in the averages at the end of the season. If not, I'm sure he even finished top a few times. And he's always been a good rider.
I think one of the reasons that Bellevue won that title in 2022 was the chemistry that you all have. And I think it's fine looking at a list of riders statistically, who's going to score points and best average and all that, but the people have got to get along together, haven't they? You've got to have a good group of people. And I think we see it now. You've just come back from a little bit of a breakaway with Dan Bewley mountain biking, and you and Jamin and Dan hang out quite a lot as well, don't you? We're away from the track even now, the season's long gone.
Yeah, for sure. The last couple of years, we've had really, really good teams for that side of it, and this year was definitely no different. Me and Dan are really good friends. We're always together during the week, mountain biking and doing whatever else we can get up to. And me and Jamin have been really good friends for a lot of years as well. So it's been cool to have all us three together. And obviously, Charles has been there for a few years as well. Me and him go a long way back. We were teammates at the very start at Somerset, and we seem to be following each other around for year after year. And we've had great teams, and I've really, really enjoyed being at Bellevue the last few years. It's been really good.
And looking ahead to 2024, then, as we said, it's going to be a much more difficult year. Are you confident then that this is going to be something that Bellevue are going to take the fight to all competitors once the season gets underway? I think it's going to get underway pretty soon as well. I think start of March they're on about, so it'll be in action sooner than later.
Yeah, I can't see why not. I don't actually know the final parts of our team, but obviously the majority of it, and I think there's no reason why we can't be at the top again. I think we're going to have a similar team to last year, and if we can pick up where we left off, then I think we'll start off in a pretty good spot. And obviously we're all going to need to improve a little bit if we're going to really, really push the strong teams. But I think we'll be there or thereabouts, that's for sure.
I know in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really make a massive amount of difference apart from in, say, the knockout cup and so on. But the starts that Bellevue have had to seasons the last couple of years haven't been ideal, have they? So that gets you on a back foot, especially when you get beat home and away by Sheffield. It sort of adds a little bit of extra needle, perhaps. So maybe something there, that an area they'd be looking to address and start all guns blazing this year.
It seems to be a bit of a reoccurring trend at Bellevue that we're absolutely terrible in the first few meetings, and then we something happens, and then we're good for the rest of the year. But yeah, I'm not sure where we went wrong, but the majority of the season was really good. We won loads of away matches. We were always good at home, and we're going to be definitely looking at a few things where we went wrong from last year and trying to improve that for the coming year. And but with a similar team, I think hopefully we can carry our form straight into March, hopefully.
And it's, as we mentioned already, there's so much, though, that is out of your control. You know, there's a lot of luck involved. You can't control what the other teams are doing and how that puts pressure on you. You can control your own game and your own meetings, but then you can't legislate for somebody breaking down or a rider getting involved in a, you know, some kind of incident abroad that's not his fault and rules them out for however long in the season. So you need all this luck and performance really to come together at the right time, don't you?
Yeah, a league trophy is definitely not easy to come by, that's for sure. It's fair play to the clubs who have won it back to back or three in a row before, because that's definitely a big job to produce that year after year. And like you said, so many things can go wrong in one day or one race, and you know, it can come down to one race in the end. And yeah, you've always got to have a little bit of luck to win anything in sport, I think. And it's got to be your day.
And we're focused here on Bellevue, of course, but your season goes much further than that. When things get going, you're going to have a busy time, I'm sure, hopping on planes and travelling the continent. What have you got lined up elsewhere for 2024?
Yeah, I'm already signed up for Rybnik again. I really enjoyed my year there. I rode there 6 years ago, maybe for half a season, and I really enjoyed it then. And I've always wanted to go back, and I feel like I had a good year there. We finished second, and we've got quite a strong team for next year, I think. So we're really going to be pushing to hopefully win and get promoted back to Extra League. And I'm really excited about that. And I'm also in the squad again for Melilla. I've been there for a few years now, and everything's been really good. We won the league, obviously, this year. And, so looking for possibly back-to-back, but we will see.
And some familiar faces, of course, in that Rybnik side as well, because Norik Bledorn's in the team with you there as well, and Rowan Tungate, who's just been announced as being part of the new Oxford Spires team, he's also involved in that. So people you know well.
Yeah, I think things are looking pretty positive for Rybnik. I think it's a strong team. I've raced with Rowan a few years in Woods previously, and it was always good. So I'm looking forward to him joining us. And I think Norik would be a good addition as the under 24 rider. It's not really easy to find a decent under 24 rider in the Polish league. So I think it'll be good for him also to come to a Polish team. And I'm sure he'll excel there.
If you're ever wondering where Norik Bledorn is in the pits, you don't actually have to look at the faces, do you? You can look at the floor and find the guy who's wearing some Crocs, particularly if they're outlandish Crocs. And you've probably located Norik Bledorn. It's probably about time he got his own range.
his own line of Crocs will definitely be coming out shortly. Ones with harder toes for track walk, I'd say.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? Reinforced Crocs. Good stuff. and what's the ultimate aim then for you? Obviously now you're going to Australia for the winter, and in some of those meetings then, is there the chance to get in the qualifiers for Grand Prix qualification? How does that work, and what's your sort of ultimate aim and where you want to head?
I'm not sure exactly how many places Australia are going to get for next year, but obviously my goal is to be Aussie champion again. You know, I've won before, and I'd really like to stand back up the top again, and I haven't had much success there the last couple of years. Obviously, last year wasn't great, and Corona before that, and yeah, it'd be nice to get back up the top of that championship and get my place in the GP qualification again. I'd really like to push pretty hard to try and be successful in that next year, and first job on the cards is the Aussie Championship, so a lot of focus and going into that, making sure everything's good and ready to go. So we will we'll see how we go.
You have got Grand Prix experience though, Brady. You were the wild card in 2016 in Melbourne, which was that one at that massive stadium, huge track. And Bartosz Szmarszlik, a relatively unknown up-and-comer at the time, was riding in that meeting as well. So, that, I mean, a fantastic experience to at that stage, you know, you'd just become the Aussie champion to be riding in a Grand Prix.
Yeah, it was a really cool track they had in Melbourne. I think it helped, obviously, that the stadium was big and they could make it a little bit bigger than Cardiff and Warsaw, and it was the perfect indoor track, really. But that was cool. And I was the wild card for 1 year. I was also a reserve once, possibly the year after, and I'd done a couple of heats, and yeah, it was cool. It'd be be cool to get the GP back in Australia, but it'd also be nice to actually qualify 1 year and get a start. So, yeah, hopefully things can go well for me in Oz this year.
Here's the next race. Kilderman, Denmark. Pavlicki, Poland. Kurtz, Australia. Smarzlik on the outside in the yellow helmet colour as well, just to spice things up a little more. Kilderman, a Grand Prix winner. Pavlicki. Smarzlik. Can't wait for this. Waves in the air. Kurtz moves slightly at the start. Let's see how it transpires. Kilderman, the Dane, has gone to the front. Here come the challengers. Pavlicki sweeps by on the outside. Also looking quick out there is Smarzlik. He's in third. And the young Australian Brady Kurtz is fourth, but not that far away from the lead.
Great manoeuvre by Brady Kurtz up the inside of Kilderman there. He's going to drift wide again. No, just enough to keep Kilderman out. Great race. Great ride by Bartosz Smarzlik there.
He is the most exciting young rider I have seen come on the scene for a long time. You'll have every league club in the world trying to sign him. Good ride, Brady Kurtz, the Australian champion, having a big crack there.
You've had the experience of the day of going along, and you know, I think you say you've been a track reserve as well as being the wild card, but you also are friends with Dan Bewley, for example, and obviously a number of others who are on the Grand Prix scene. And you see how it transforms them, you know, as their place as a rider, the resources they suddenly have, the extra sponsorship and everything else. And just how important is it, how big a deal is it becoming a Grand Prix rider?
Being a GP rider is absolutely going to boost your profile, that's for sure. But I think it can also bring probably a little bit of confidence back to the league racing, knowing that you're one of the Grand Prix riders, you're one of the top guys, and you probably should be winning all the time. And it can also, I guess, bring you down if you're not ready for the series and you go in. I think it can. There's tough meetings week after week, and no one wants to be getting flogged in the GP series all year. You know, I think if you qualify, you really need to be ready to be in the top eight or top six or fighting for that at least. And I'm that's where I'd like to be, I guess. And I'm definitely going to be pushing for it.
And you know that you have the, you know, the talent and the gear as well, because a lot of these riders, whilst they might be riding in a Grand Prix, of course you meet them often in the league, the majority of them, and you know that you're capable of keeping up with them, of hanging with them, of beating them, because you've done it in the past. And so it's just a case of that consistency, I think, isn't it, when you've got to get through those qualifying rounds to get into a Grand Prix series.
Yeah, obviously in the league racing, I've raced, and probably at some point I've definitely beaten all of them at least a couple of times. And I think I can see myself definitely being at that level. It's just it's not an easy road to get there, that's for sure. I think it's a very small window of people who get their chance in the GP. And if you do get in there, you really need to make the most of it. And if I qualify, I definitely need to make sure that I'm ready and prepared. And I think the last few years I've been building my equipment to the highest standard that I can, and I've constantly been progressing. And I think the equipment side of it's definitely there. I've got the best gear possible, I think. And it's just down to me now, really.
Speedway of Nations is coming to the National Speedway Stadium. Mark Lemon, of course, is the boss of the national team as well as the boss of the team that you captain. Are you hoping that you're going to be on the radar for that? Clearly, there's a lot of competition with it being a pairs tournament. But on your home track, do you fancy that you might be worth a shout?
Yeah, of course, I'd love to be in it. You know, I'd like to be in it no matter what track or what country it's in. It's always an honour to represent your country. And it's a little while away yet though, but for sure that's something on my list that I'd love to be in and be good enough to be in and mix it with the top guys. And being at Bellevue, I don't know if that'll really help me too much in the selection, but it'd definitely be nice to know that it is on a track that I go well at and pretty familiar with, I guess.
Well, this is it, isn't it? You know, you're going to have this advantage this year. You know, going into the summer, if you're on form, then surely you've got to have a case.
Yeah, I go well there, but I think things like that kind of don't really count all that much when it comes to the top guys in the world. I think it doesn't matter how good you are on a track. The Smarzlik's going to come, and he's going to be just as good without even practicing on it. And it's all about, you know, who's going good at the time. And being a top guy on that level is a different step. And Yeah, we'll see how the season's going when it comes up. I'm not sure when it is, July or June or
middle of July. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be selected on who's going well at that time, and yeah, we'll see.
Fingers crossed. Okay, Brady Kurtz is our guest on this episode of Humans of Speedway. We're going to have a quick break. And then in the final part, Brady Kurtz is going to design his dream Speedway meeting. What's his favourite track? Who'd be in his all-time 1-7? Just a few of the questions coming up next on Humans of Speedway.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with 2 chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 support your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Humans of Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan. Join us most weeks in the winter off-season in British and European Speedway to hear a different human from the Speedway world talk about what they do. Not always a rider. Our previous episode was with Craig Aykroyd, Speedway Grand Prix referee. I've also spoken to Alan Rossiter and Ben Cook in this series and many other in the previous three series. Hans Nielsen is on the way in the future, so do not miss that one. Right now, our guest is Brady Kurtz of the Bellevue Aces from the last couple of years, and he was the title-winning captain with the Aces in 2022. But how would Brady's dream Speedway meeting look? And who would be there and involved in it? That's what we're going to try and uncover now. And Brady, first of all, my first question to you is to tell us about which track you love racing the most, irrespective of the facilities or the location in the world or anything else. You, on your bike, you got the back end out, sliding round, full on. Which track is your one that you would say is your favourite?
Definitely Łódź in Poland, I think. I rode there for 2 years. Two and a half years, something like that. And definitely that's got to be my favorite track in the world for sure. I love racing on that track so much. It's a great shape. It was modeled a little bit after Torrent, but I think the racing is actually better in Łódź. It's not very big, but perfect shape. It's a great banking on it. And it's definitely my favorite one.
Okay, so that's the track. What about the stadium now? The one for the atmosphere and all the rest of it. You must have ridden in some hot atmospheres in Poland, particularly. Obviously, you've ridden in that massive cavernous place in Melbourne as well. But which stadium would you pick?
Best atmosphere. It's definitely got to be one of the extra league tracks. Probably one that's a proper stadium inside. When I raced in the extra league final in Leszno before, that was pretty cool. Full house and full stadium to win the league. That's probably the best stadium atmosphere that I've experienced. But I think there's been some good ones in extra league in the past. That's for sure. I think Wrocław looks pretty cool at the moment. They're always full and with great teams. Really nice stadium and I think the extra league in Poland's just on another level.
Extraliga, of course, is on another level every week, but when it comes to a final, you know, that's a big occasion, isn't it? And you've talked about your experience, but also a bit of 2023 Bellevue connection with it as well, because with Ty Woffenden getting injured, that opened an opportunity for Charles Wright, and unfortunately he then got injured, which opened a door for Connor Bailey. So they both got to experience that in some way, if not the event itself, the build-up at least, and see what it's all about.
Not too many people get to experience an actually final, and if they're lucky enough to win it as well, it's definitely a special moment. And yeah, I'm sure it was a really good experience for Charles and Connor. Probably not so much a good ending for Charles, but I'm sure he enjoyed the first part of it nonetheless. And yeah, the final there's pretty cool.
Certainly is. Right, let's get to your dream team now. Your all-time 1-7, Brady. Who's going in your all-time 1-7 then? If you could pick a dream team, any rider, any era, no points limits.
Difficult question. I'm definitely going to go for Rickardsson. Emil, I really, really like watching Emil for a lot of years. I'll go with Darcy as well. He can't be left out, I don't think. Myself, I got to be in the team, don't I? If we're making my best team, I don't want to be left out. I want to be involved. Possibly, I reckon we'll go with Janusz Kolodze. I really like Kolodze. He was obviously in my team in Leszno for a few years, but I really like watching him. I think he's possibly the fastest guy ever. Not all the time, but if you go and watch him in Polish League, I don't think you'll see as many people as fast as him. Who else we got? Two more. We'll go with Jason and Lee. I'll probably have to be number 7 in that team.
I don't know. a solid lineup there, I think. Solid lineup of champions. And no shortage of Pool Pirates connections there as well. So, next question. What do you think you would fix about Speedway or change about Speedway in order to make it better from your experience as a rider?
I would like to fix something about the start line to make the gates even. I don't know how we would fix that, because if they could, they would. But like, for instance, usually like by the end of the meeting, you can start off gate 3 and everyone rides across gate 3 all meeting, and you pretty much have sometimes no chance to win. And it's a, yeah, it'd be cool if they could make them even somehow. I've seen in motocross now, obviously they start off the grid, like the metal grid, so there's no ruts or anything actually on the start line. So something like that could be cool, but I don't really know how that would work, because we have to ride across it every lap, obviously. So yeah, but something like that would be good, I think.
And it all depends on the racing line of that particular track. You say there's a gate 3, but some tracks it could be gate 4 that is on the racing line and therefore at a disadvantage as well. And you conversely got gates that clearly do have an advantage too.
Even not at the end of the meeting, sometimes before the match, one gate's like clearly so much better than the others. And yeah, it'd be cool if we could somehow make them all even. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but good thought.
It is a thought, and it's out there now. What about referees then? Do you have a particular favourite referee that you enjoy racing under their control, or do you actually not even know who the referees are?
I kind of don't really know who the referee is a lot of the time. Like, obviously sometimes they speak to us on track walk, but not very often. But if we don't see them, I never actually really pay attention to who it is. I don't really care, if that makes any sense. I think it's better just not to worry about it.
Okay, and the final question, if you're going to pick one team from history, an actual team that has existed, to race against your virtual team of all-stars, which team would you single out as being the one you'd love to race against from back in history?
Yeah, I think one of the pool teams, I've got a picture in my head of them all standing there with, I'm sure they would have won the league, maybe like 2002. There's one team from that era that one of them years, 2001. See, 2003, they've got a massive list of riders. Lee Adams, Craig Boyce, Tony Rickardsson, Magnus Zetterström, Antonio Lindbach, Christoph Kasperzak.
Yeah, good team, that. Decent team. And Lindbäck still the track record holder around Poole as well. So the Poole era of the early 2000s, your opposition. Well, look, thanks a lot for joining us, Brady, and all the best for your, first of all, your adventures to Australia, riding in that centenary meeting between Christmas and New Year, the Aussie Championships, and then back over here for action in the Sports Insure Premiership and the rest of Europe as well. It's going to be a busy season, but thanks for taking the time out to talk to us about your career and your time in Speedway, Brady.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks once again to Brady Kurtz for joining us on this episode of Humans of Speedway. And we've got plenty more for you to listen to in this series. Elsewhere, though, you've got a couple of other Speedway podcasts to get on your agenda as well over the course of the winter. You can find out the latest from the British Speedway AGM with an episode of the official British Speedway podcast, No Breaks, No Fear. And that features, of course, myself, but also special guests, which were Chris Louis and Danny Ford, a couple of the board directors of BSPL, British Speedway Promoters Limited. And we've also got a podcast with Kelvin Tatum as well, a podcast called Tatum Talks. And in the latest episode, Kelvin Tatum is indeed talking about how British Speedway might shape up in 2024. Check those out at your leisure. And we'll be back very soon with another episode of Humans of Speedway.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.